Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Oh, that's nice, Al.
Why would you say
wow,
such a thing?
Why would you say that?
803.
Fan of CBS
a lot of crazy
Sports
things,
Network.
Jerry, you know that.
Coming to you live in the Built Ford Tough studio. Oh, why? Yeah. Did you hear 10 o'clock in the morning yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And by the way, he says all these things mostly to you.
On the podcast, yes. That is correct. That podcast is not meant to be an on-the-air podcast. It is meant for reaction to current events and stories that he sees, and sometimes they do cross-sexual lines, if you will, and he will say some odd things as he's reading a story, yes.
So let me ask Eddie this question. Eddie, do you listen to the podcast? I know you set it up when you, and then you go outside, and then you come back. Are you listening to the podcast?
Yeah, after I post it. Then I mine it for drops.
That's what I'm saying. You're gold mining.
Every day.
Yes.
Which is why he's got 80,000 drops in the system.
Yeah, which is amazing. It is amazing.
And we've toned it down, too. I mean, if you, right, would you not agree that we've toned it down based on
age?
I don't even think it's that.
Maturity.
No, it's not that either. The story you did yesterday, not necessarily. But it has been, when it first started, he used to get, and stop me and tell me if I'm wrong, he used to get stories from a prep site that would have a lot of sexual stories in them.
Yeah, very weird stories.
And now he doesn't do that anymore, so we're kind of just relying on daily activity, if you will. And I come across some different things on
daily weird stories that seem to happen every day around here.
Correct.
Or at least there are headlines that are attached to those stories.
Two things completely off sports, just because you started with the podcast. Number one, have you noticed... maybe you have, you haven't, and maybe this is just my house. It's inefficient, although it makes no sense because I have all new equipment. Gas bill has gone through the roof. Have you noticed that or no?
Yes.
Why? Like, out of nowhere.
There's a lot of reasons why.
Mine doubled.
Mainly have to do with governmental policies, but then at the end of the day, there are a number of executives that are making quite a lot of money doing what they're doing. And I think sometimes they fall in the target eye of the politician, when in actuality, you know, policies do end up, you know, creating problems for the consumer. Let's just put it that way.
I might have thought it was something else.
Everybody thinks they're doing the right thing, but in the long run, somebody's got to pay for it. And it always comes back to the consumer.
And then the other thing, the congestion pricing. Isn't that going to the courts today?
30-day extension.
So it's not stopping today.
Right. And of course, one thing I did take from Kathy Hochul, she was saying that, you know, this is not going to get shut down. And of course, the federal government under Sean Duffy and the Transportation Department are basically saying they will shut it down. There's going to be an argument back and forth. But interestingly enough, Kathy Hochul said that President Trump supports the plan for Penn Station, whatever that plan is. Mm-hmm. Like, they know that they have to redo Penn
Station.
Just
want to fund it differently?
In some way, shape, or form, and that there's going to be some federal funding that is a part of it. The question really does become, what happens and where does Madison Square Garden go? And it depends on what plan you're looking at and whether or not Jim Dolan is going to be flexible to moving the garden and receiving the same tax abatements that he has received over the years because of where it is and because he threatened to move it out of the city, which we all knew was a joke. He would never.
He's not going anywhere, right? But could move it across the street or somewhere like that, as we've discussed.
Well, they have a plan right now to move it across the street to where the old Pennsylvania Hotel would be and or was, which makes a lot of sense. The question is, I'm assuming underground would be connected somehow to the train station still, because that's one of the allures of having Madison Square Garden where it is.
Yep, easy to get to,
especially when you come from Long Island.
All right, moving into just a couple of things quickly with the football, only because two things caught my eye. Number one, your guy, Bill Cowher, was on the Dan Patrick Show. And I thought he raised an interesting question, and this is not to have an Aaron Rodgers conversation for the 9 millionth time, but I did think what he said was interesting, and, you know, it was kind of along the lines of maybe the Steelers shouldn't be thinking so much about Aaron Rodgers, because what concerns him is the fact that as more time goes on, he really thinks that Rodgers is contemplating retirement more than anything. And if that's the case, and I think you've said this too, once you start thinking about retirement, maybe you've kind of checked out or you're already retired. I mean, do you think that that's what it is? If Minnesota is out at this point, and that's what we seem to think it has to be, you're thinking about the Steelers or the Giants. If you want to win, you would think it's Pittsburgh. What would take so long?
I think we have time, because the draft is still, what, a month away, right?
Yeah, late April.
Late April, so maybe 5 weeks away. So they have plenty of time. And this is the discussion we had 2 years ago about Aaron Rodgers coming to the Jets. Once you come to the Jets, remember all that? Everybody mm-hmm. was impatient.
Everybody for sure.
Said, just relax. He's going to get here, and it will happen before the draft. Now, I think that that's the case. I think we'll find out something before the draft. If we don't find out something before the draft, then that makes me think that Minnesota may still be in play after watching J.J. McCarthy go through OTAs and everything else. Remember when Brett Favre, I think, came to the Jets, and also when he went to the Vikings, it was late.
Well, the Jets was August. Yeah, because I was covering the team, and I remember when he arrived, they were in camp.
And I think the same thing happened with the Vikings.
That I wouldn't know.
I think so. It's not like you have to have him there right now. You'd love to have a guy in there going through OTAs and everything else. That could be also something else he wants to avoid. You know, maybe he wants to stay out in California. Maybe he wants to travel some. He looks like he's in great shape. He can still play. It's just a question of whether or not you want to put up with everything that is around him. Now, he creates a lot of that, but I still think that he'd want to come back and play at least one more year, and the Vikings probably would be the best place for him for that single year.
So does that mean then the Giants and Steelers don't do anything till the draft, and if nothing is done at that point,
they may do something right prior to the draft, or they may do something right after the draft. I mean, there's three or four guys that they can go for. They can go for Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, Carson Wentz is still out there. There's still guys that they can bring in here that can play quarterback if they decide to go drafting a quarterback high in the draft. So it'll be interesting to see what's going on here, whether it be, and it's interesting listening to Todd McShay and both Mel Kiper, who do this stuff for a living, talk to people left and right all the time. And that report by McShay and the Browns and Shedeur Sanders and everybody now thinks that Tennessee is going to take Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
So that would leave the Browns to take Shedeur, or somebody trading up to get Shedeur, and maybe the Giants don't have a chance at either one of them.
Which would be, right. And that would, see, it's interesting.
Then they have the choice. But however, if the quarterbacks are not there for them to get, then they have their choice at two great football players playing very, very important positions. The edge rusher is Abdul Carter. He's the best player in this draft. For what he does, what he brings, and what I think he'll bring at the next level, he's the best player in the draft. Then Travis Hunter is the next best player in the draft, non-quarterback. And when you think about those two players, if the Giants could get one of those players at number three, I think that would be great. But the problem still remains. Who is their quarterback that can get them to wins this coming season?
And you would think second round, you're going for that second-tier quarterback. You have to.
I would think so.
I would think so, too. But who knows?
Or
anyway.
You trade back up into the first round and get, maybe a Jackson Dart who still may be hanging around.
It's funny. So it's mentioned McShay and Kuiper. So there was one. It wasn't one of those guys. But another one of these draft guys that I saw on TV yesterday was talking about the next level of quarterback that's in this draft shouldn't be drafted in the first five rounds, that they're not NFL quality. Who, though? Like, who knows?
Some people are
saying Dart's better than the other. Who knows?
Right. We don't know until they get into the league, until they get into their situation, and then you see how they handle it. By the way, Jalen Milroe, the quarterback out of Alabama, ran a sub 4.44 40.
But what does that mean?
That's great for an RPO.
Yeah, all right.
That's an RPO offense, that's for sure.
I mean, I've seen a lot of really good quarterbacks
Anthony Richardson blew everybody away at the combine.
Yeah, but he can't complete a pass.
Right, exactly.
So this doesn't mean anything.
That's why you got to be really careful about all these measurables. The truly great quarterbacks have something that you can't really measure until you see them on the field.
I completely agree. Conrad and Cherry Hill, what's up, Conrad?
Hey, good morning. Enjoying the show this morning.
Thanks.
I want nothing to do with this Aaron Rodgers talk and this him coming to the Giants. I'm tired of waiting for this guy, okay? Even if he comes over, he's probably going to be with us maybe a year, most two. What does that do for our franchise? I think that kind of sets us back. If we do win games, then we're not going to be in a place to be able to get
the draft. Just hold on for a second, Conrad. Here's the thing. You have to remember that the Giants coaching staff and front office has been here now for 4 years. They want to win. They need to win. The owner has said so. The owner said it last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said it again this year after the season was over.
Doesn't want to be standing in the same position a year from now.
And what did Brian Daboll say when they won a game in which they beat the Colts?
That's what happens when you get good quarterback play.
That's exactly right. So, and that was Drew Locke's game.
Yes, and the idea of Rodgers coming in and saying, what is he going to do for us? If you take the wins and losses aside, the idea would be play for a year, and then the quarterback you draft takes over next year.
That would be the idea. If Aaron wants to go play one more year and not leave the way that he left, then I would say, it's got to be either Minnesota again or Pittsburgh, because I think Pittsburgh's building an offense that he can win with.
It's amazing how he keeps his name in the news by not signing anywhere.
Yeah, but he's
Aaron Rodgers,
one of the most popular players in the history of the league.
But he's 41.
So Tom Brady was older than Aaron Rodgers and went down there and won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay.
Well aware.
But he had the edge. Like, he wanted that.
Well, I think Rodgers does too. I just don't know if he's physically capable of it anymore.
We don't know if he does right now. That's the thing. That's where everybody's wondering whether or not does he really still want to play. And that's what Bill Cowher is alluding to.
About retirement thoughts, yes.
That's what he's alluding to. And I can understand Coach Cowher saying that. But I would also say, like I said, 5 weeks until the draft, There's no hurry. I would say all the guys that are there sitting wanting to play for you, whether you're a Giant or a Cleveland Brown or a Pittsburgh Steeler fan, they'll still be there. They're not going anywhere.
Well, they're being held up. You can't go anywhere
unless
right now.
Somebody is told that there's no way that Aaron Rodgers wants to play for you.
Speaking of quarterback, any interest in the new, I shouldn't say new, but the quarterbacks that Netflix chose for quarterback that's coming out this July, I think it comes out. You've got Kirk Cousins again, and we know what's kind of gone on with him. So I think that's a different look from when he was on it, when he was with the Vikings.
Why would they do him again? Just because he blew out his Achilles and he came back from blowing out his Achilles, then we're going to see exactly what we saw with Aaron Rodgers? I mean,
maybe, I don't know. But
I would hope that they would have found somebody else.
You got Goff. Which is an interesting one. Yeah,
no, that's great. I mean, because that team was good. He was like a cast off from the Rams, and he had a great season, a couple great seasons.
Plus, his wife is very out there on social media, so I think she'd be part of the story, too.
Yep.
And then the other one, which I am interested in, is Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's kind of, it's almost
he's, by the way, I know Aaron Rodgers is unique. Let's just say unique. Mm-hmm. What did Gutekunst call him, or somebody up there in Green Bay called him a very unique fella?
Burrow.
No, Rodgers.
Oh, Rodgers.
Joe is the same way.
Is he really?
Yeah, not maybe as out there. He's a little bit more private than Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers is pretty private, but he's out there because of McAfee.
Right, so it's interesting that he would do this, because remember when everything happened with the house and the quote-unquote girlfriend? He was... It certainly seemed like genuinely pissed off that his privacy was kind of...
Yeah,
you know,
it was.
And yet, I guess he's going to have no... Like, could you... I guess you probably could, because you've lived your life in the spotlight. But I find it hard to believe that people are comfortable with the cameras in their face 24/7. He doesn't seem to be that type of personality.
Well, he'll be able to edit it. They'll be able to see what they're showing. But, you know, when you watch him go to games, like, he's a flamboyant dresser.
I've seen that, yes.
So, yeah, so I can understand that.
I think there have been some comments about him. And
right, right. He's got
a
personality and a whole thing, and he's very dry in terms of his, I think, his sense of humor, which I like. So
you'd be into this?
I would be into it, and I think that they are one of the more popular teams because of this whole offseason with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, and they're really offensive in nature. And I think it would be a really interesting thing watching him, especially because this is all from last season, or is this starting this season?
I would think it's... I mean, they just announced it about 2 weeks ago or so.
All right, so these are the quarterbacks that they're following.
For quarterback this year, yeah.
For this coming season.
Yeah, which... And I think if I read it correctly, they start airing in July or August. So they all start filming, I guess, during OTAs, mini camps, I guess.
Right, so the Kirk Cousins thing is going to be really interesting because of the Michael Penix situation. And basically, Atlanta lied to him.
I guess so, yeah.
They paid him a lot of money, but they lied to him.
Yes, and he wants out, and they're not going to trade him, at least not now.
Right, but then again, I when they took Michael Penix last year, I thought that was a great pick by Atlanta because they secured their future. And I think what they thought, hey, at least we'll have Kirk Cousins for 2 years because we can get out of that third-year contract. And then Michael Penix could take over after watching a pro go through everything that he goes through to become the pro that he was.
And Penix is now their starter.
Yeah, because he got hurt last year, and I guess he didn't want to admit it. And there was a real disconnect between the GM and Kirk Cousins about that at the combine.
Yeah, which we saw, exactly.
It was ugly.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Well, sort of. Geo is out. He will be back on Monday as he comes back from Florida. Bill Ford Tubbs Studio. 888-808-1019 is the
number.
You
know, I've actually had fun with you this week, Jerry.
I thank you.
Actually?
Yeah.
Jeez, has it been that miserable for you this week?
No, not at all. I didn't, you know, Jerry and I usually work a day here or a day there together.
A full week has been rare.
That's all.
Yeah.
That is true. And I'm like, now we know. We got a bona fide.
Yeah. Now we know. It's been 7 freaking years and we did 4 months together.
I was going to say, what about 2017?
Now I know. When did we do 4 months together?
September to
when
January.
Craig took his vacation.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember that.
You highlighted in the hospital.
That's very foggy, Jerry. That's very, what are you talking about?
I had a heart condition in October.
Who did?
I did.
You did? That's very foggy.
By the way, numbnuts over here was with you guys for that too, as well.
Very foggy. I don't remember those days. Okay. Those are the halcyon days.
We had the John Flaherty report.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. How could I? Nobody could forget that. That was one of the most popular things we ever did here on the radio station.
Yeah, that was September through December.
Right. I mean, really what I remember from the Craig days was, you know, jumping across the median on Las Vegas Boulevard in the middle of the night after the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight and watching Eddie down 5 cheeseburgers, 3 pizzas, 7 beers when we ordered.
He doesn't seem to remember that based on his facial expression.
Well, we ordered room service to our room at the, we were at the Palm, right? The Palms?
The Palms, yep.
And we were in the big suite up top.
We were.
And you remember we ordered room service and like 20 guys showed up with 3 tables?
Yeah, because you
wheeled them in.
There was a minimum that you can order in order to get the room service for that size place. So yeah, that was a whole lot of food.
Meantime, CeeLo and I are looking into the Klarma deal with Grubhub.
You guys, you weren't on that trip, were you?
I wasn't. No.
That was crazy.
What year was that? That was what, 20?
Was that 16 or 17? Was that the summer of 17, maybe? Or the,
which fight was this now?
It was May.
I think May.
Spring of 17 or spring of 16? Mayweather Pacquiao.
I didn't, because if you remember, I was coaching my son and I didn't have an assistant coach. And if I would have gone on the trip, I had to cancel the game. So I stayed back.
May 2nd, 2015.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Wow. That's 10 years ago now, sir.
Oh, my God.
Almost 10 years ago.
Yes.
How about that? Time flies.
No, but anyway, what I'm saying is that I've really enjoyed the 5 days working with you.
Well, that's very nice. I appreciate
that.
By the way, I've been 6. Started last Friday.
Someone caught this photo of you today and said, this is Boomer after dealing with Jerry and CeeLo all week. Looking to the heavens for answers.
In fairness, when you did that, I looked into the guys inside. I don't know if you were having a stroke or something.
I don't know why I did that. One of you guys must have said something that I was like, oh boy, here we go.
I think you just wanted to leave, to be honest.
Hey, is it 10 o'clock yet? Can I go?
No, sir. It's 6:30.
I haven't felt that way at all.
Good, that's great.
Yeah?
Awesome. 6 in a row, so that's a good thing.
Yes.
Chris, take over, please.
Okay, St. John's only up by 5 on Omaha at the half last night in Providence. Didn't take long, though, to kick it in gear in half number 2.
Missed it long. One down by Scott. Here come the Johnnies on the move. 3-on-1. Give left, Wilson. Lob for Lewis and a 2-8 slam. Johnny's starting to pull away.
43-30 at that point. Chris Carino, courtesy of the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. And they cruise from there to an 83-53 victory, draining 14 threes along the way. RJ Lewis had 5 of them. He led all scores with 22. But you listen to Rick Pitino after the game, and he was kind of ho-hum about what was a 30-point victory.
We didn't play particularly well because they're a tough team to guard, because we played great defense and kept giving up. Got him to take a lot of bad shots, and we didn't chase the loose ball rebounds.
Next up, another Pitino-Calipari clash as the Johnnies get Arkansas tomorrow afternoon.
The only time he was at Kentucky was at Louisville. It's normal. So I've always had great respect for John. I've always had I told our team, we have not seen this type of size and this type of athleticism all year.
What does he mean, things like this happen, it was normal?
Their matchups.
The rival, the in-state rival?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I think just the fact that they've faced each other before, coaching big-time programs.
Got it.
I didn't hear the full question in context, but kind of reading between the lines there a little bit. And as far as Arkansas is concerned, I mean, as talented and athletic as they may be, you're talking about a 10 seed that kind of had to kick it in gear to get into the tournament.
They had a lot of injuries. That's why they opened up 0-5. But they got it together right now. And if I don't know where they finished in the SEC, 8th, 9th in the SEC. But if they finished 8th and 9th, what I watched today, I'm glad we're not in the SEC. because that's the talent level in that conference is amazing to me.
And what he watched was Arkansas take down Kansas in the game prior. So now the Johnnies and Arkansas will be game two tomorrow in Providence, scheduled for 2:40. Figure sometime, 2:45.
Yeah, right around there.
So tournament time means you get Charles Barkley crossing over to the studio coverage on, I guess it's all TNT, TBS, True TV, whichever, with Ernie Johnson, Kenny Smith, and Clark Kellogg. Kenny wrapping up a point here, and Ernie looks to Barkley to chime in, and he had nothing.
And they have the physicality to match most teams.
She said go to commercial.
Who's that? Who's she?
Ladies and gentlemen, can I just say something?
Please do, Ernie. Please explain that.
For the first time in his career, Charles Barkley has listened to what a producer had to say. There is silence on the other end of this earpiece. Well done, Chuck. It's either you listened or you had nothing to say. And I think you had nothing to say.
It was not the latter. It was not the latter.
It might have been.
And by the way, we do know Kenny Smith's pin number now, 3030. And the only reason I say that is because Oz Perlman was on with those guys yesterday.
Of course.
And somehow he figured out Kenny's, ATM pin number. Yeah.
Seen him do that a couple of times.
But you need the card to make it work.
And he could obviously change that pin now. That's
well,
been
he said he was
going to
do that
television.
Yes.
Fraud!
Oz?
Maybe somehow he got those guys, and their reaction was not made up. That was real.
And when he was in here with me and Greg, you were out. It was, however he does it, whether it's fraudulent or not, I don't know. It is impressive. Very impressive.
I'd love to know what makes it fraudulent.
He's literally on there for 3.5-4 minutes, and he is.
Well, there's a screening process.
He's got Clark, he's got Kenny, and he's got Charles.
Yeah.
And he's doing something with all of them.
Okay.
And he's got to do it in a matter of like 3.5 minutes got them all right.
Yes, but he also talks to you for a while. It's not like he just walks in and does it.
Yes, but the reactions people have
are real. Those were organic and
they're blown away.
So were we.
That's what I mean. So how fraudulent could it be then?
Well, it's fraudulent because there's no such thing as an actual mind reader, but when
does
he was
he
in
claim
here
to read minds though
well he was in here
the mentalist
before he went on, he had asked for Gio's phone. Gio gave his phone to him. I don't know what he did with Gio's phone, but he had Gio's phone.
All right, fair enough.
There were a couple that seemed explainable. One I couldn't wrap my head around was it was something like he gave Greg and me a book. A 400-page book.
Yeah.
And he said, take the book. He walked out and said, just pick one page in the book.
Yeah.
That's all he did. And he hit the page. The other ones I feel like were pretty explainable. That one blew me away.
Well,
like,
when you see him in front of the NFL football teams in training camp, it's remarkable.
Josh Allen, Joe Burrow.
And the reaction by the players.
Yeah. He's very good at what he does.
The Jets. I mean, he's been everywhere. He was down there in Super Bowl week. I saw him on some of the shows getting guys.
We have people that are stupid.
Maybe that's it as well. Meantime, NIT first round action on Wednesday. So not quite the crowd you get for the NCAA tournament, obviously, which means it's less crowd noise and more sometimes individual words or noises that are picked up on the broadcast near the court. And that was the case as part of the Dayton, Florida Atlantic broadcast on ESPN the other day.
Different look when these two guys come in. And when the guards are knocking shots down, they're awful. Florida Atlantic's awful tough to guard.
So I couldn't hear you. I was listening to that person getting murdered in the third row.
I mean, yeah.
Well, that crowd sounds actually pretty good.
All right. Well,
that was also
screaming.
Dayton was the higher seed, but because the games were in Dayton for the NCAA play-in games, they had to go play on the road, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was curious where that game was. I knew, obviously, it couldn't have been at the. All right. There you go. Here at the Fan, as we've discussed a little bit, we had the pizza controversy as Evan Roberts took up ownership of the Mike Francesa tradition, the pizza pies for the newsroom shortly before opening tip day one of the tournament, except he ordered 3 personal pizzas via Grubhub from some place that was
so stupid
convenient for his commute to work yesterday. And I guess one was margarita, another was buffalo chicken, which, it's a little in the weeds. People are just looking for the traditional pie. So it wasn't received well by the folks, mostly behind the scenes. And Sal Licata felt the responsibility of speaking up for the peasants, as John Minko used to refer to all of us.
Like, if you're going to do it, Ev,
Do it like a man would. Do it like Mike would. I mean, order some pies for the guys here, for good sake. Three little personal pizzas? I mean, what are we doing? I mean, Evan wants to take charge here. It is the Evan and Tiki show. He's got top billing there. Mike and the Mad Dog, Evan and Tiki. I mean, dude, come on. Go into that wallet of yours. And freaking spring for some real pies. There should be, if you don't have two full pies left, you are left over, you don't have enough.
And Ray Martell came looking for slices, as many people do, who we don't normally see in the newsroom. And they
once there's food, they sniff it out, man. Right. They're here.
Or they
show
know
up
it's
like
coming.
Locusts.
Sure. So he showed up and was appalled by what he found. So he went back to Evan and I essentially demanded his credit card and promised to fix this mess. Except he ended up ordering 10 pies from some dollar pizza place, and that was a failure as well.
Yeah, I saw a piece of that pie, and it was brutal.
Yeah.
It's awful. I'm not going to mention it. I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to mention it. It is brutal.
Yeah. Well, look, I do agree with you that any type of pizza, it may not be the best, you can eat it. This looks like pizza you would get in Arkansas. It doesn't look good.
You know,
it looks like frozen pizza.
Or like pretend, you know, yes. Kids, like a kid's kitchen, they get the fake food.
I looked at I call it GAC.
Oh, boy.
GAC pie.
Pie.
Yeah. All right. Well, what are you going
to
do?
The Knicks were kind of gacked down in Charlotte last night as they ended up losing to the lowly Hornets 115-98. LaMelo Ball, 25.8 assists for Charlotte, just their 18th win of the year against 51 losses. The Knicks are now 3-4 without Jalen Brunson. Tom Thibodeau was asked about the lack of bench scoring for his team, and he wasn't going to throw those guys under the bus.
You know, and I don't want to put it on the bench. It was like, it was, you know, everybody. It was all of us. You know, you win together, you lose together. So, you know, our margin of error is tight. It's, you know, we're on a back-to-back. And you have to get it done with your defense and your rebounding. And we didn't. That's where we fell short.
And the starting last four games has not been good. Even in the Miami game, you know, early on outside of Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
So hasn't been great. And
right, now they got Washington, Dallas, and the Clippers all at home. Mm-hmm. They had three straight home games starting on Saturday.
You got a winning streak coming up?
And we need a three-game winning streak.
How about you start with one? I think one would be a good place to
start. Beat the crappy Wizards first.
Right.
Yeah. As far as
I think you just got to walk in there and go, all right, guys, let's go. Let's get the heads focused. Let's make sure we know what we're doing. We've watched these guys. We know who they are. Let's start taking care of business.
Do you think he hasn't been doing that?
I think you pick and choose during these long seasons with these very expensive players. And you got to hope they all buy into what you're selling. And I think for the most part, they have, and they appreciate Tibbs. But we have seen Hart go after Tibbs, you know, on the court. You know, that happened in the last week.
On the bench,
week.
Right. They both said the right thing.
We had
after
the whole
that.
Situation with the Golden State Warriors and Draymond Green and all of this crap over the last couple, you know, games.
And I mean, the Mikal Bridges Thibodeau thing about the bench and the minutes.
Playing these guys more. Yeah. I mean, it's just been a lot of little things that have popped up here in the last 10 days.
Yeah. That's true.
All right, guys. Time to get our heads out of our asses and let's go.
Well, homestand. I mean,
honestly, we're all drama queen. What are we doing?
You've never done that with us. Only on the softball field.
Oh, yeah.
Not here, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this, you guys are professionals here.
But on the softball field, we have had that talking, too.
Well, yes.
Many times.
No, I'm aware.
Especially when, you know, Gio's booting the ball all over the place like Pele.
That's right, funny. So, Knicks Wizards tomorrow night at the Garden.
Would you be
in
the slug ball?
What is that?
Slug ball?
So, Ruben Amaro, remember him from the Phillies?
Yes.
He has created this new game called Slug Ball.
Okay.
They're trying to term it, it's like Top Golf for baseball fans, and they rent out minor league stadiums, and you sign up with a team to compete against other teams, and it's about base hits and situational hitting and stuff like that.
Base hits and situation.
Yes, that's what it is. Well, I'm just asking because there's a couple in Trenton. There's one in Staten Island.
Well,
they're
why
don't
we
do.
Just send Evan over there and tell him to let us know what's going on?
So that's a no from you. I was just asking.
Yeah, I. You know,
I was really asking Chris more
you
than
know
you.
What's amazing about 30.
Oh, they're showing softball. Yes,
I'm working with
summer.
Narps.
Yeah. Just head in his hands.
You know, my catcher can't run. My third base has a bruise on his shin. And Gio is booting the ball all over the place.
Al, I don't know if you can find this, but about, I want to say 25 years ago, I did an appearance in Chicago.
Steve, pull it up.
No, no, he may be able to find.
He found the Cardinals game yesterday.
And it was indoor baseball. And the whole thing was inside like like a net. Like, so you could play, and it was a
like automatic baseball.
It was like automatic baseball. It was inside really
yeah.
like, very tight net. So mm-hmm. you could play the ball off the net, the whole thing. And I don't know whatever happened to that. That was a that I had a ton of fun playing that. And that was literally when I was probably still I may have still been with the Jets at that time.
No, oh, interesting.
That okay. long ago.
So arena baseball didn't work.
It was
basically.
Like inside arena baseball in Chicago. They were opening this big this place that probably had about 10 of these fields inside of nets.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all condensed, and the ball would come off the net pretty hard. Mm. Be playing with it was like a rubber baseball.
Okay, I'm sure Al can find
and
that.
There was a pitcher.
Got that? Did you play it?
I don't know. Maybe he'd find it. He's good at this.
But yeah. It was a long time. I mean, you're saying with the Jets, that's 30 years ago.
I think so. I just I
no.
Think
we need. We really need the name of what that is because when you put in arena baseball or any of that stuff, nothing right. comes up. So we need whatever that thing was called.
Man, God.
Someone out there will remember and tweet it to you maybe. Guys in the next 2 minutes.
Maybe. I would think so, but
it sounds like it was short-lived, though.
It was, but it was, man, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Getting
and
out
ball,
and doing
And that
things.
Ball was coming off the net. I mean, it was like,
yeah.
So it wasn't automatic, but you actually played it live off the net.
Yeah, and the bases are probably, I want to say, like 60-foot bases. It was like maybe the size of a Little League field, but it was enclosed in a really heavy-duty mesh netting
mm.
that was all around the field.
Interesting.
God, what the hell? I forget what it was called.
If I may quickly.
If you may.
Boomer referenced how much he's enjoyed being with us here this week. And enjoyed
I didn't say us. I said him.
Okay, fine. Perfectly fine.
Wow.
Not so much this morning, though. We had to come back to the office to get you.
Yeah.
So you missed the end of the warm-up show where Al and I were discussing Steph Curry's injury from last night's Warriors game.
He fell on his pelvis.
Yeah.
That you do not want your pelvis banging up against a basketball court.
What's the difference between pelvis and tailbone? What's the pelvis?
Your pelvis is the whole... It's all the bones near your wiener.
I mean, is that impeccable timing already or what?
Ending to the warm-up show on a Friday, on a feel-good Friday.
Yeah, now Al knows all about the pelvis thrust exercises
he
that he used to do.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing about him, when a doctor tells him to do something,
he does it.
And you did the pelvic floor exercises,
correct.
Right?
Stretching the pelvic floor muscles.
You're still
very,
doing that?
They're very tense.
Still part of your routine?
No, because they're not tense anymore.
Nice and loosened up.
Why were they tense in the first place?
I'm sure it was my anxieties landing in that part of my body.
God.
That's what happens. You know, sometimes you get shoulder pain, back pain, pelvic floor pain. It's wherever your body decides, I'm going to take all those anxieties and let's put them somewhere.
And that's where you're stressed out.
They say the body keeps the score.
Yeah. Needed some.
I'm losing that.
That's why I tried telling Jerry he could cure his back pain just by thinking, I don't want back pain anymore.
It doesn't work. Sorry. That does not work.
I think it works.
Yeah, tell the vertebrae that's leaning on the nerve. That doesn't work that way.
I actually pelvic hurt yourself doing something like
sexual
exercise.
Oh.
No, not sexual. He doesn't do anything sexual.
I mean, exercise. No, you know what I think happened was by driving the long distances every day, and I've got the foot on the gas. And it's up and down. It hurt my leg.
Oh, my God.
I will tell you this. You know how it ended? I started using cruise control.
Oh.
Now, I'm nice and relaxed. My legs are wherever they want to be in that car.
Did you have a pillow on your back, too? Didn't you have one of those?
Well, I have a seat cushion that I use. Yep. Seat cushion, cruise control.
Oh my God. Beads under your butt.
I don't do the beads, but that was the next.
I thought you did.
No, that was next on the list.
Oh.
Hold on.
Like the cab driver.
Did you come to that? I stopped listening about 30 seconds ago. Yeah. Just say beads in the butt?
No. Not in.
Oh.
You know, you ever see getting a cab and the cab driver has those beads on their chair because they're in the car all day?
Yeah, you like a bead. How about a vibrating bead?
Oh, boy. It's not an individual bead. It's a blanket of beads.
A blanket of beads.
Yeah, which is helpful for your back.
It's like a built-in massage, Boomer.
We're really late.
But this is fun, Jerry.
I know. We're about 2 hours and 40 minutes too late, though. So
you know,
we have to take a break.
Every day's a new day around here.
You learn something every day.
Oh, yeah. Every day you learn something.
That's exactly right.
That was the pussy...
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Bill Ford's of studio. It is the Boomer and Geo show. G back on Monday. We've got a couple minutes here before we break for the top. And, you know, I wanted to, we really were hoping to have Sam Rosen on today, but there's reasons why he can't. So we'll move on. We're not going to worry about that right now. But tomorrow at 1 o'clock, the Rangers have a game and they're going to honor Sam as he is getting set to retire, which to me is nuts because you're still damn good at what you do. And I know maybe next hour we'll talk a little bit more about it, but I did want to play three clips for you because you start to think about the, to me, I, you know, I think about growing up, my dad was a huge Rangers fan growing up. So while he took us to Ranger games and Devil game almost equally, where I kind of skewed more Devils, he was a Ranger fan. And the voice of Sam Rosen growing up has been in my head. And I think it's a power play goal. I mean, it's just, it's an iconic sound and has been for me for years. So I just want to play a couple for you. Number one, clip number four, Eddie, number four. Now, we've all heard Howie Rose do this a million and one times, but this is how it sounded with Sam when the Rangers had this wild win.
Kutisov, who went off the leg, stays in the Devil's zone. Matteau goes for the puck. Matteau around the net. Matteau puts it. Score! Score! The Rangers win! The Rangers win! They're going to the finals! The Rangers win!
All right, so that's now, that's 31 years ago, 1994, and then obviously they did win number five, Eddie.
Here it is! The waiting is over! The New York Rangers are the Stanley Cup champions! And this one will last a lifetime!
All right, so I played those. They win the Stanley Cup. A lot of things that a lot of people never thought they would see. Remember the sign, now I can die in peace. We'll never forget that.
I was one of those people.
Yeah. I'm sure you were. So now I play those two. Now I'm going to bring it up 28 years.
Okay.
To 2022. This is how good. This is only a couple years ago, how good he still sounds. I believe, I could be wrong. I think this was the Rangers beating the Penguins in overtime.
Okay.
In the playoffs a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Listen to the energy and how good this guy sounds. Just a couple years ago, number one.
Controlling feeds Fox. Now Panarin goes in. He shoots. He scores! He scores! Rangers! Rangers! Rangers win!
And that's what we're going to be losing.
Yeah, and by the way, last night when the Rangers scored, that's what it sounded
like. Of course. Of course.
You know, here's the thing about Sam. You know, he's been with us for 40 years. As the Ranger announcer, he took over in 1984. He worked 20 years with John Davidson, and he's approaching 20 years with the great Joe Micheletti. And, you know, we as Ranger fans have been very, very fortunate to have Sam be the voice of the Rangers. I hope tomorrow, when they do honor him, and rightfully so, that they put his name in the rafters.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I want to see that because he deserves that. He's been a part of all of it with us. And you've never heard anybody say a bad word about Sam. And not only is he a hockey announcer, he was a football announcer for many years. He's done, 13 or 14 Stanley Cup finals, I'm sure, for Westwood One. I mean, he has just been everywhere, and he's been a delight. And even in the worst of seasons, like this one is a very frustrating and disappointing season, you know, he always still finds a silver lining for, you know, the Ranger fan. And he's been nothing but the ultimate measure of class and as a gentleman. That's the way I would put it. And, you know, he won the Lester Patrick Award this year. He's been in the Hockey Hall of Fame since 2016. He's what's great about great announcers, because it's never about him. It's always about the game. And we as a fan, you know, when Mike Emmerich retired, we miss him.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that he was great, and we love every, even though he was the Devil announcer, when he was doing national games, we loved him. When he was doing international games, we loved him. And that's how I think all of us Ranger fans feel about Sam Rosen. So tomorrow's going to be a very emotional and very special day for him. I hope the team reflects that on the ice and wins the game for them. Usually when we have these big productions before games, our team falls asleep and loses. But that's a whole other set of circumstances.
We'll just enjoy it tomorrow.
I will. You know, I'm going to be at the tap room at 3 o'clock, but I'll be watching prior to that. I'll be watching and listening to all of it for Sam because he deserves it. And I couldn't say it any better than he is a passionate gentleman when it comes to his New York Ranger broadcast. And he loves the Rangers, loves the Ranger fans, and we love him back.
And one of the best that's ever done it.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.